I wanted to kind of connect back to that point because I think you've introduced some really important reflections, which is also that the infrastructures around healthcare, but also around, for example, protest movements, often exacerbate existing forms of oppression for people with disabilities more broadly, but more specifically in this conversation, deaf people and people who are hard of hearing. So I wanted to ask you about your experiences participating in the protest movement around Justice for Palestine here in so-called Australia, and particularly your decision to make the video that I think a lot of our listeners might have seen, where you and a bunch of deaf and hard of hearing folks around the world sign Free, Free Palestine. Can you tell us about that video and why it was important to make it?
Great. Well, there was a few reasons, mainly myself being Palestinian and being deaf as well. I've always protested. And there was many people I noticed around us saying Free Palestine in English, but they weren't seeing us as the deaf community seeing us sign that as well. And I thought one way to get the message out there is by making a video on Facebook and Instagram. And I wanted to show everybody how to sign it. So us as the deaf community, we can support Palestinians in West Bank and in Gaza, all across Palestine as well, and all other Palestinians across the globe to show that us here as the deaf community, that we support them as well. Additionally, as well, I do love creating content. I love making videos. And I think it was important as well to have deaf and hearing people involved. That's what I wanted to see, everybody signing it. But it's not finished yet. There'll be a part two coming soon.
Excellent. We will hold out for the part two. I think that it's a really good way to kind of bring into the next part of the conversation, which is about your experiences of I guess barriers to access, particularly for the deaf community in protest here in so-called Australia. And I know there was another video that I saw that you posted of you walking in a protest march. And I wanted to understand the experience of participating in those protest movements as a deaf Palestinian organizer. And I guess what you think protest movements can do to be more accessible for the deaf community and for people who are hard of hearing.
Okay. Personally, I've had very good experiences at going to the protests. I've shown that the hearing people are there, that we're there as well. And it doesn't matter the numbers, whether it's 10, 100, 1,000, we make ourselves seen as well. We have Auslan interpreters who we really value that go to the protest as well. And it's so useful for us to access the information of what the speakers are saying. So we can get that information. And then we are being seen. There is another way for the community to know that we're there. And it's not just here. I'm aware of other Auslan interpreters and interpreters globally that are making this movement accessible. We also have conversations where people ask me signs for certain things or what brought me there. And it's been really nice. I've appreciated meeting other members of the community at these protests. And we share information with each other. Maybe people didn't know what the most recent things have been happening in Gaza or the history of the occupation in Palestine. And we are able to communicate in Auslan because that's the language that deaf people need to know to understand.
I was just curious about whether you could tell us a bit more about the experience of negotiating Auslan as the primary language for communicating in the deaf community, and whether there are moves to make more locally specific variants of Auslan sign languages.
I might just add one thing that, in terms of how many people in Australia are able to actually, perhaps if there's a person whose first language is Arabic, and they're coming to Australia and need support. Let's say they go to a hospital, like Amazin said earlier, and they don't know Auslan. Is that going to also create, you know, another barrier?
I'll just clarify. So if somebody from overseas was to come to Australia, say an Arabic sign language user, and they wanted to access supports in Australia using Auslan, is that your question? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, deaf people are using international sign. So it's not Auslan or Arabic or BSL, British Sign Language, or French or German or any of the other country sign language. Many people are using international sign. But recently there's been a post on Facebook of somebody asking for an Arabic Auslan interpreter because somebody has come from overseas. So I put my hand up because I do know Arabic sign. And I had a conversation with them, but they said no, because they had asked if I was a qualified Arabic sign user. Of course, I don't have that qualification, but they said it's compulsory. And we live here in Australia. How is that even possible? How could you say you must be a certified Arabic sign language user here? So that was just a very recent conversation, but I'll have to see where that goes to from here. But I disagree with that approach, because I'm a fluent Arabic sign user. I grew up signing in Arabic. Every day I use Arabic. I still video call my friends. We email in Arabic. And questioning me to bring forward a qualification, I just find really puzzling.
Absolutely.